Thank you, Mr. Randall. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Great to be with you all. And normally my family would be here, but the two boys are at home sick, as was mentioned. A lot of that going around this time of year. So today I want to look at a passage in, a couple of verses in 2 Peter 3, the last two verses to be precise. 2 Peter 3. Verse 17 and 18, so if you want, you can start turning there. So these are some of the final words Peter wrote in a letter. Shortly thereafter, he was killed. He died. And that during that time, there was it was a time of false teaching, persecution, and unbelief coming into the church. And as Peter said in his own words in chapter 3, verse 1, that in this second letter, his intent was to stir up, remind the followers of Jesus Christ. He said, to be mindful of the words spoken by the prophets and Lord and our Lord and Savior. And he closes in 2 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18, closes this letter. So this is what we're going to be looking at during this message this afternoon, 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall away from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. So Peter ends this letter with a call to action, be alert, stand firm, and to grow. His words give a warning, but also ultimately he's pointing to where our focus should be, where our eyes should be, and that should be growth in Jesus Christ. So the purpose today is to examine what that means, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the title is simply Grow in Grace and Knowledge. So throughout 1st and 2nd Peter, this letter, the tone of Peter is very personal, loving, sincere. As we are aware, he was one of the original apostles. He walked, he talked, he learned from Jesus Christ personally. He was a friend. They were friends. And through Peter's life experience, Peter was shaped, molded into a very faithful servant who is now able to exhort others with maturity. He addresses believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, who had already possessed and learned this foundational understanding and knowledge. And in these letters, Peter is basically saying, you've heard this before. You know this. You've been taught this. This isn't anything new, but I'm going to remind you. I need to remind you of these things. I need you to know these things. I need you to be stirred up about these things that you've been taught. His intent was to remind, stir, reinforce, encourage. So does that sound familiar for us? We have been taught things. From the Bible, truth, some for a very long time, some since we were very young. We too need this. This is a letter for us. We need to be encouraged. Don't give up. Keep doing the things that we've been taught. Be steadfast. Don't be deceived by the false influencers. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of platforms. Peddling an agenda, modified gospels of Christ. And in verse 18, Peter continues on and says, grow in grace and grow in knowledge. And it's not just any grace and knowledge. He says, in the knowledge, grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be growing in. So very briefly, what does that look like? What does that mean for us to grow in grace of knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So it's all about how he lived, his character, who he was, his example. And we too are not to just stand still, but to transform, to learn it and to live it. Ephesians 4:15 tells us, speak the truth in love. Grow up into Christ. Grow up is the spiritual maturity that we're developing. And it's ongoing, not instant. It's a lifetime. So when we are baptized, it's not the end, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of our growth. And we're not to stay in one place. We're to grow. So here's a simple bike analogy for us to think about as we are growing and moving forward. So let's think about this as a bike ride. We're all getting ready for a bike ride. We're all going to go there together to the starting line. And just being at the starting line is a feat sometimes in itself. It's an accomplishment just to be there sometimes. So we're all gathered there with our bikes. Then Mr. Stith is there, and he's going to tell us when to go. And he puts up his arm, and he says, go! And everyone starts pedaling, right? But instead of pedaling, I put my bike down, and I puff out my chest, and I said, I made it. I showed up. I think this is good enough. But that's not how we're supposed to be thinking about this, right? We have to start pedaling. We feel the strain in our legs. We push through the hills. We endure. We have fatigue. But it's not all difficulty either. We get to see the beautiful scenery around us. We get to be together as people enjoying this time together. And through this journey, there's then the end. We reach the end. And at the end, there's the joy of finishing. The joy of being together, having fellowship, having food, and celebrating. So likewise, baptism, it's like that starting line. We start and we go. We continue forward. We endure. But we don't just sit there. We don't just stop and put our bike down until Christ returns. We make the most out of the incredible opportunities that God has given us. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it means that we keep moving. We keep pedaling forward and we keep growing. So like Peter is telling us here, grow. Don't just stay. Don't just coast. Grow. And this growth has two parts to it. The grace of Christ and the knowledge of Christ. But they're not separate. They're together, both pointing towards Christ. And as we learn this and understand this more, it helps stir us. It helps motivate us. Helps us want to know God better. So with this first part, I want to touch on the grace and the knowledge. What is grace? Grace, unmerited favor of God towards us, towards humanity. And it's primarily through the life of Christ. It's a gift that we can't earn and we can never repay. Grace is something that is a reflection of God's character. It's a merciful and loving God who extends the richness of who he is towards us, the blessings towards us, to human beings because of his kindness, not because of our worthiness. We can't demand grace. It is given to us by God. And we occasionally stumble through this process of this journey that we're on. But it's this wonderful opportunity of grace for us to keep going. We can turn to God in repentance. Grace makes this possible. And to grow in grace means we change. We repent, we change, and extend that same grace to others as we have received it. A big part of growing in grace is simply how we live or apply God's way of life. And for all the perfectionists out there, myself included, it's an amazing blessing. Because instead of feeling constantly like you're failing and looking inward and at ourselves as failures, that we can't ever live up to what we should be, can turn our minds toward God and say, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for grace, because it's essential for us in our growth, for us being able to learn, to change, to move forward as imperfect people. Grace provides the opportunity to grow. Peter shows earlier in his letter that grace and knowledge work together. In 2 Peter 1, verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So what about knowledge? Knowledge is something that strengthens and directs our growth. It makes so grace is shaping our character, and knowledge directs our understanding. To grow, we have to know what we're growing into. We have to know. We have to be directed. It's not just any kind of growth. It's not just collecting knowledge. It's growth in Jesus Christ, knowing Christ himself. This means learning, studying, and living as Christ did, studying his example, his words. So, for example, growing in the knowledge of Christ, how do we do that? Like I said, we study it, we practice it, and we demonstrate it in our lives. He sat down with sinners, talked to strangers, outcasts. He emphasized reconciliation. He showed compassion. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He forgave even his executioners. He gave us the example of humility, to live as servants to others, and saying he came to serve, not to be served. One final verse in 1 John 2, verse 6. I'll just quote it here from 1 John 2, verse 6. "He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked." He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. If we are to grow in grace and knowledge, then it becomes a pattern. We walk it at home, at work, in our relationships. Growth is a lifetime. It's not instant. So finally, Peter ends his letter with clear direction. He says, stay focused, on guard, endure, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love and blessings motivate us to press forward, so that our life brings honor and glory to him. And as Peter said to end this letter, he says, "To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen."